In talking about educating young Christians, we've come to the place that we need to talk about the social activities of the church. We started on this yesterday. I don't know too much about this. I have a feel for it internally, but I don't know. I would like to have your input on the subject, I guess is what I'm saying, as to how important the social activities of the church are to and for a new Christian. I do know that there is a place for them. We observe the animal kingdom around us, and even animals play together. I was watching a couple of little chipmunks this morning just playing with one another. Throughout the animal kingdom, we see this occurring. So it seems to be a part of the nature of God's creatures on the earth, and we're included in that. We've had a lot of social activities at this meeting. It seems like the young people in particular just can't get enough of it, and I'm glad to see them want to be together. And in all kinds of things, organized and unorganized, I know there is a place for this. Do you have a feel for how important these activities are in the local congregation, whether we should have organized versus unorganized, just what we ought to do, how we ought to think in terms of this contributing to the education of the young Christian? Anybody have any thoughts about that? Jim?
I believe that the social is extremely important simply because we are gregarious, we are social. We need each other. I believe the more we're together, the closer we become. So I believe very strongly in organized activities, planned activities, things that we work out together. And I would lean, if a sizable number of young people are in a congregation, to some three or four of these at least per month.
Thank you very much. Marvin.
I agree with what Jim said, but I think there's a lot of value, too, in getting really close to someone if you spend time in their home and eat at their table and sleep in their bed. You never see people like they really are until you live with them.
Yeah, there is something to that. All the things that we say when we're together in our assemblies have led some people to believe that the Church of Christ has an obsession with water, but it was never really clearly manifested to me until Sunday evening over at the Ingalls house just how obsessed with water we are. There are things we get to do together that lead us to know one another better than we ever would in the assembly. Michael.
I would like to see, just in general, an increase in activities that involved other things besides entertainment. We seem to think that the only time that we can get together, other than for religious and study type reasons, is to entertain ourselves. And specifically, I'm thinking along the lines of working together. I remember as a young person assisting in the building of the Long Beach building. Now, I probably wasn't very helpful in that activity, but I enjoyed it, and I learned a lot, and a lot of the older brethren were patient with me, and I think a lot of our young people would enjoy such experiences if they would get in there and start doing those kinds of things. It seems whenever there's work to be done, all of a sudden they disappear, and I'd like to see that turned around.
I agree completely. I really appreciate the comment. There again, we get to know each other in a way that we don't during the assemblies. I knew of one case where a man who was not a member of the Lord's body, but he was a carpenter, and he helped work on a project with the church. His wife was a member of the body. He helped work on a project with the church. This is a man that had been carpentering for 40 years. And he saw one of the brethren hit his thumbnail with a hammer, and the brother just said, "Ouch." And that carpenter said, "I've been doing this 40 years. I've seen a lot of people hit their thumbnails, but that's the first time I've ever seen that," where he just said, "Ouch." And he was impressed by that. It helps. Gayleen.
I think it's critically important that the adults value the young Christians and show that value by asking their opinions and by getting their input and establishing relationships with them across generation lines.
Very good. Appreciate that. Thank you. Marvin.
I was going to say, I agree with Mike that working together brings you close together. One of the best ways that our children, when we asked them what they wanted to do on the 4th of July, well, we want to do this, and it was always work. Because somehow we got a relationship there that we didn't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Anyone else on the subject of social activities? Okay, Rob.
I believe really strongly, because I had a drug problem when I was younger. If I would have had a lot of social activities with people that I knew in the church, it would have been a lot better for me. It would have kept me away from the problems I got in. But also, sometimes people have to know, like say on Sunday, that Sunday when you're there at church is not a social activity.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to know the difference and what we're here for.
Okay, thank you. You've raised an interesting point here, an important one. A lot of times when we have people who are converted, they're changing their whole lifestyle, or they're attempting to, and that includes giving up friends, which leaves a hole or a void in their week. And social activities with the church or among people from the church can be very important for them because of that. Was there another? Tom.
Paul gives us a good...
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I wasn't clear enough. I didn't know you had the mic. Go ahead, Tom. We'll get the other one in a minute.
Okay.
Go ahead, Tom Woody. Yeah,
right.
Sorry. You guys are in the same line of fire.
Paul's guideline is a good one, I think, for this. When he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. I think that's a good thing to apply to our activities. There are some activities that would be more edifying than others. There are some that would be more expedient. You could still have an enjoyable time, but yet spend it in such a way that you actually get to know a person better. There are a lot of games that are activities that we do sometimes that are, like Mike said, more entertainment, and they're fun, but when we're done, we don't exactly know each other any better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good principle to keep in mind when we have planned activities.
I've noticed at these meetings sometimes that...
First Corinthians 10, 23. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's no problem. If at the beginning of a meeting like this we have activities that involve mixing type things, I've thought that was good in the past sometimes. Appreciate your point. Tom Dennis.
I guess I like to think of the things, the things that are practical and profitable. I enjoyed it when we used to go to some of our elderly people's homes and clean up their yards, wash their windows, and it's enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
The brethren working together, this socializing, being together on some project that's really beneficial to somebody and enjoyable at the same time. Our work in nursing homes, that type of thing. Even going out, here's a farmer that's got some hay down. Let's a bunch of us go out and help him pile bales, or of course not get in the way, but there's things we can do constructive that are, to me, more practical, more profitable, actually more enjoyable than just games and frivolity.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anne.
I think this might be part of our problem in dating. we need to talk and get acquainted instead of screaming at a ball game or rolling the ball down the bowling alley. Those things are all right, but you may not know the person you are marrying unless you do a lot of conversation with each other and be in each other's home, know the parents, and make sure that you know the personality, the inside, not just the frivolity.
You've sure said a lot there. That is just more important than I can stress, I think. And conversation does seem to me to be becoming a lost art. I wish we would just talk with each other more and listen to what the responses are. It's sad to me when a young couple comes to me and maybe I'm talking with one, well, how does your fiancé feel about this or that? And they have no idea. I can't fathom that, but it happens all the time. Dave.
I guess I've gone to a lot of different congregations in my life, and the one thing I notice now where we attend is we have no social activity whatsoever. It basically is our family and one other family, and really it's only one person out of that family most of the time. And to be in that kind of a situation puts a real light on the community that a large congregation has that a tiny congregation does not. And I'll tell you that it really takes away from your life to not have an interaction. So whether it is a social activity that's a lot of fun, or whether it is working together, or whether it's some other type of instruction to do together, all of that is more profitable than not having anything like we do in our case.
Now I know why you made that videotape last night. I feel for you. You've said a lot. Let's see. B first, please.
We tried something a number of years ago with the young people in our congregation. We had them in on Thursday evening into our home, and one night a month they had singing practice with one of the elders. Another night they had a Bible study, which was strictly topics that they wanted to talk about, and they chose the teacher to come in to teach them. Another night was strictly social, and one night a month we visited a couple that were in their 80s, and they would sing for them, and they would sit around and talk, ask them if there was something they could do for him during the week. And the woman was just so glad to have us in. She always would make pies and knock herself out to, you know, have something for us to eat. She didn't want us bringing something. She wanted to do it herself. And we were doing the bulletin at the time, so we let them have their own youth page. So they put together their own page, front and back, typing, choosing material to go in it and everything, their own news items, and they did a really good job. So that meant another time at our house besides the Thursday night. So we had them, like on Saturdays usually, we put bulletin out every week. And they just did a fantastic job. And it was a way of keeping them together, mm-hmm. encouraged them not to be out with people of the world, but to be with their own group.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ann.
I understand what David Evans is saying, because I also grew up in a small congregation, and I was about the only one of my age. There were no social activities unless you made them.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents were always ready to have company, especially on Sundays. And anyone that I wanted to invite Sundays all day was always welcome, and we always had company.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that this is what happens. We get away from family-style entertainment, mm-hmm. family life, and go out other places, in public places. And that's why you don't get acquainted.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're in a family setting and you can get out in the yard and play ball, or you can get out and go fishing. We did a lot of things. We rode horses. We did all kinds of things. Took a picnic. And in the wintertime, sledding. And depending on the time of year, you make your own activities.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what age you are, you're going to associate with someone. And if you have the love of the Lord in your heart, you will want to do the activities pleasing to Him, and you will make these available mm-hmm. to your friends, and that's how you win them to the Lord.
You've said a great deal there, and a lot of these comments are along that same line, the establishing of relationships. I am concerned, I guess to a kind of a high degree, with the video craze. There's just so much of watching videos, and we don't communicate with each other very well while we're doing that, even if it's a good video. And a lot of the videos that we're seeing are not things that are conducive to what we're trying to create within us. So, a lot of times I think we feel like we have to leave home to have fun, or else bring a bunch of videos home and watch them there to have fun. And it's just not true. It's something that needs to be watched and thought about. Was there another one somewhere? Okay, Jim, go ahead.
I think what happens when we don't have social activities, when we don't get to know each other, is what is expressed in Proverbs 14, verse 10, which says, "The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy."
Mm-hmm. Very good. Let me go a step further here in what I wanted to talk with you about regarding the social aspects of the church and its relationships. We have heard in past history of a congregation, one couple was assigned to a new convert or a new couple who had placed membership. What do you think of the idea of assigning a couple to a new convert to kind of look after them, be sure that they don't fall between the cracks? Is that too formalized? Somebody said yes. B, go ahead.
It sounds like the discipling movement, really. We're supposed to confess our faults one to another, but that doesn't mean it's one person only. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can talk with one person about one problem we have, but another person might be the best person to talk with. And we don't confess everything anyway. I don't know whether this is the time to mention or not, but with the discipling, well, there's a book out, Discipling Dilemma, which is really what it is. So many people are coming out of that movement now needing counseling because they've been assigned to that one person. And the abuses within the system of all the things they have to report back to the elders of the group, and then the way they handle the person is just creating enormous group of people that are needing counseling now. So I would say no.
Okay. Thank you. Agree or disagree, Marvin?
I think one advantage in having a person assigned to you, if you are very unfamiliar with the church, is that you at least know the ground is covered. But I don't think it's the whole answer. I think it's just a taste. Mm-hmm. It ought to be just a taste of what the church is like.
Okay. Thank you. Others on the idea of assignments. Nancy.
When Randy joined the church maybe 18 years ago now, I have always had the highest respect for Steve Dennis for that part of what he did in bringing Randy to the Lord. And he and Kathy at that time, they weren't assigned to us, but they yeah. became very good friends.
Uh-huh. I think
and I think there's something to that.
But they weren't assigned to
No, them. But they became yeah. very close friends to us. Mm-hmm. And it was a bond that has stayed to this day.
Mm-hmm. I personally like the idea of these things happening as naturally as possible. People who, for some reason or the other, seem to develop a kinship. I think we do need those close relationships. We obviously can't be real close friends with everybody in the church unless it's extremely small. And even then, we probably won't be because that's the nature of human relationships. Dave, go ahead. David.
I was just going to say, I don't know that people could really be assigned because each individual person seems to find their own special friends I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, I see a problem with that, too, of people with a personality conflict being assigned to one another. David?
Let me give you the corporate management perspective.
Please.
Okay. One of the things we have found is that when we have a new employee who comes to work for us, if we do not have a formal program whereby that person is introduced to all the services that are available to them, all the people to see in personnel, all the different things they can do as far as policy is concerned, even to the point of where the restroom is for a new person when they come in, that those things don't happen. Mm-hmm. And so what we've established is a system of, you might say, almost like a host, who makes sure that they don't entertain that person, they don't watch that person, but they get them introduced to all the other types of things. And I guess the first thing that went through my mind when you were talking about this is maybe an assignment should be made to somebody not to watch that person, but to make sure they get to know everybody else. Mm-hmm. That maybe that type of communication thing would be a good thing to assign, because that will make sure that it does happen. And it can be the elders, the deacons, or somebody that's appointed to do that, but not to be... You can't appoint somebody to be their friend, but you can appoint somebody to help communication get started.
Yeah, you said it. I like that. There was another hand, too, I thought. Oh, Mike.
And maybe it's just unique to our congregation, but I feel occasionally our young people are not good at this. They have developed their own cliques, and a new person comes in and feels like they are on the outside, particularly if they come in and they aren't a friend, you know, it's not a friend of somebody in the church. They just happen to come in with their family as visitors. I can cite a specific example, which I think is very embarrassing, but hopefully because of that, people can think about it and maybe be more sensitive to the way they act. There was a family that came and visited our church and from the neighborhood, so it wasn't, you know, just people traveling. And they had a young daughter, and I was trying to introduce them to some of our young people, and they said hi, and then our young people just split mm-hmm. and went out and did their own thing. And it just so happened that the young lady who was visiting was of a different race, and when I later questioned them about that, she felt that they didn't like her because of the color of her skin.
Yeah, I think when we're young, we do have a harder problem with this, basically because of insecurity, I think. As we get older, we know a little more about how it feels and can empathize a little more with being left out, and so we want to take more pains. But the sooner we learn that, the better, to include everybody. And if we do have special friends in the church, and I hope we do, it might be good to make it a point not to spend too much time with them at the assembly. Make other times for that if we need that. But not to be cliquish. Maybe bend over backward to be sure that we're not cliquish at the assembly. Bob.
I think going along with what you mentioned yesterday about the young convert, getting them involved immediately, because I can still remember when I came up out of that water, I was ready to do something. And that wasn't my personality to jump up front and do anything. Mm-hmm. But bringing into it the fact that where I work, I've worked there for 25 years, and they take in a new employee, going along with what Dave said there, and they don't really take him around and introduce him to every aspect of that workplace. They just assume that he's going to pick that up. 2 years later, they'll be asking me, well, what do you do about this, or what do you do about that? And I think all too often, you know, we get somebody through the Bible studies and get them into church. Well, now they're here, so we don't need to tell them how to study and what you said about the way to go through the Bible mm-hmm. and getting somebody to introduce you to all the members. You know, I was really amazed at how many family members was in the church. You don't tie them together because they're married and they all got different names, but you know, it's interesting to really find out who's who when you come into the church.
Yeah, I guess what I'm hearing here and what seems right to me is it's good to have somebody to take a special interest in someone. You can't appoint them to be their friend, but there needs to be somebody to introduce them to the different nuances of our relationships together, at least to a point. it's easy for us to assume that they're going to find those things out, and then we learn that they didn't. Dan.
One of the ways that we might be able to handle that in putting together kind of a whole package arrangement is by using a small study or support group, which incorporates a lot of areas. It would incorporate a Bible study that would be specifically directed towards your Christian life. It could include prayer together, sharing of common problems. It could include some fellowship, eating of a meal or dessert together afterwards. And that would help bring new people in and get them associated in a home. I'm not talking about at the building, mm-hmm. but in a home where it's a lot more safer, a lot more easier to get to know people.
Okay. Thank you. Dave's got one.
I was just going to go back to the personal experience again. When we moved to Missouri and started going to Prince Road, the first thing that happened was the Coopers invited us over to their house for popcorn, Pepsi, and pizza. And these little things help you feel right at home immediately. When we started to go to Michigan and attend a congregation that was meeting in Flint, we went there several Sundays before we ever even learned anybody's name. I mean, it was like, you're an outsider, you're going to stay an outsider. And we felt very uncomfortable at that congregation. I mean, extremely uncomfortable. And those kind of things are very meaningful to you and very obvious when you go to that new congregation, whether you're a new member or whether you're somebody that moves in newly, and it affects how you feel. I remember as a teenager, we went to Wichita, Kansas when my family moved there, and Don Willis was out to see us at our home the very next night. To see how we felt about church and where we're going, that kind of stuff. So those things have an impact on you, very much so.
Thank you. Joanne, I guess you're next.
I think that if everyone took a good look at themselves and asked themselves that one important question, am I a true Christian, and am I doing what is pleasing in God's sight, you wouldn't have the problem of new people coming in or new people not finding out what the church functions are or new people finding out the other people's names and things like that if everybody were true to what is expected of them.
That's a good comment. If we're thinking, we don't let somebody fall between the cracks. The problem is we get busy and we get oriented toward what we need to do right after the assembly's over, and then we want to get out the door and go do it. And we can let somebody just hang there. And that might be a good reason. I guess ideally the elders would be the ones to be sure nobody falls between the cracks, but there's no reason why they couldn't assign others of us to be sure that that doesn't happen. Marvin, go ahead.
I think too, if in the public assembly after the formalities are over, as we call them, after the worship hour is over, if we would make an effort to greet each person there in some way, mm-hmm. that it would make us all feel closer together. I know people that go to the assembly that they shake two hands and they're out the door. Mm-hmm. Well, they've missed something. Because that contact, just shaking a person's hand, encourages them.
There's really a lot to that. I have sometimes felt that what happens before and after the meeting can be a lot more important than what happens during the meeting. Lowell, go ahead.
It just seems to point to the importance of the family, that the congregation or the elders can suggest and they can ask, but it seems like it's up to the family to implement, to show by example, and to do all these things. It seems like every area we've discussed this morning, that the church can suggest, but the family has to implement it. And not that the family is more important than the church, they're both so important, but the family is where they get the support and they get the resources, and it isn't for a strong family. Even I like what you said earlier about when you were first baptized, how quickly you were involved. And you can't push too hard, but you've got to be involved enough to know how far you can push without getting a negative response from your child. And
Well, if it's just what's expected in every case, if that's the way it just works within the congregation, then when someone is baptized into Christ, they just expect to be they don't expect to be treated any differently than anybody else. It's just a part of the package, immediate involvement. Yeah, that's right. If the husband and wife can come to a meeting of the minds and they spread that down to the children, then they're a resource unit for the church to be used in all these ways. But it's hard to do it in the family if we're still fighting each other. Anybody else about the whole area of social activities? Kayleen.
Your remark about what happens before and after sometimes seems to be more important. Is it possible to alter the assemblies to meet those needs?
I think it is to some extent, to make our education more mutual than it is. That takes a lot of thought and a lot of planning, probably a lot of discussion before we do it. But it is possible, at least some of the time, I'm sure, to have our assemblies be more edifying, either by better preparation ahead or by actually altering some of our methods occasionally. Did you have anything in particular in mind? Okay. I really appreciate the way you guys get the microphones to the people. It's almost like a natural discussion this way. Close. You guys are coming close. Ann.
I was thinking of this verse in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And this verse is just before our not forsaking the assembly. Doesn't this pertain to when we gather together, that we're also to consider one another, and we're there to stir up love and good works? Our consideration of one another at church services should be every day of our life, and we should be looking for someone that we can help to direct them to the Lord in our work, in school, every place that we might be. And I think that if we would apply that verse 24 right along with verse 25, that our life could be different, and so could others.
That's right, and so could our assemblies themselves, going back to Gaylene's comment. I've been places several times where the brethren seem to enjoy being together before the assembly, maybe standing out on a porch and visiting, and there was almost, when the time came to start the meeting, an air of resignation. Nobody said so, but the idea was, let's go in and get it over with. And then afterward, they were back to actually relating to each other. But there didn't seem to be too much relating during the assembly. It was more like a form to be filled, something to be gone through because we should. The assemblies of the saints are to be a real part of us and our interaction. We're there to enhance our relationship with God and our brethren, horizontally and vertically. So the more we can do to cause that to occur, the better off we'll be. Okay, Dave.
I got to pick on my mother since she's sitting in front of me. But
right.
Years ago, there was an ad in the paper which talked about a Bible study on Sunday morning where you would come around and sit together and have a cup of coffee and study the Bible. And Mom always thought that was a really neat way to study, was to sit down with her morning cup of coffee and have a Bible study with people. And too often, I think, we think that you have to sit in this auditorium, which is a very unnatural thing to do, as we've done for 2 weeks now, and that's how our service has to be, and it really doesn't have to be that way at all. That's just tradition that it's gotten to be this way.
Yeah. You know, there is a difference between informality and a lack of preparation. It's been my sad experience at times to attempt to get congregations to be less formal, and to see what actually filtered down ultimately was the idea that we don't need to prepare for it. And that's not true at all. These aren't the same things. But I have had occasion where, for instance, we started a congregation one time, not this last one, but another time, where there were just a few of us, so we sat in a circle in somebody's house and had our meeting. And we weren't unprepared at first when we came to the meetings, but it didn't take long before the sense of informality seemed to lead people to conclude that we don't need to prepare as much for this as we would if it was a formal assembly. If we can still prepare, still be ready, and yet keep that sense of informality where we can relate to each other naturally, then we're really getting somewhere. He was just waving a fly, I think. Any other thoughts along the way? Oh, Margaret, didn't recognize you without your hat. At least she had her head covering on last night.
I just thinking about the different personalities. You know, some people are so hard to get to know, and I heard them labeled stuck up and all that, when actually they are a very shy person and would just love for somebody to take the initiative to know them. And sometimes it takes quite a while to get to somebody like that, but just keep speaking to them, and they may refuse to even participate in the first few things you see them. But when they see you're genuine and really mean that you do want to be their friend, you kind of break down that little barrier. People have things in their life that have really hurt them and has made them feel so little that maybe they're not even worthy of our attention. But if we keep persevering, we can let them know that we do really care for them.
That's so true. And I think, again, that is amplified among young people. It's easy for someone to mistake your shyness for aloofness or your silence for snobbery. Some people don't talk to you because they don't feel worthy to talk to you, if you can believe that. Now, you can change yourself on this if you want to. I could tend to be that way, just not feel like I should say anything to anybody. But if I think of the other person instead of myself and what would be good for them, the sooner I can forget myself, the better I can get involved in helping you. Excellent comment. Thank you. Anything else? Chick, go ahead.
I appreciate all the comments. I'm very thankful. I think it's helpful to all of us. But one thing that's been missing this morning, I hope the young people, I'd like to encourage them now. We're talking about them, but I'd like to hear them talk. I believe we could learn something from them. Thank you.
Anybody under 20 want to talk, or under 25? John.
Unfortunately, I've had the sad experience of seeing one of my brothers in Christ fall away because of lack of involvement with other Christians of his own age. And I think since that time, just in our own congregation, we've had a lot more association. But I can see the importance of it. It's very important. And it's
beneficial. Thank you. Appreciate it, John. Who else? I saw another hand. Charity.
I just have to say that coming to these meetings every year has been very encouraging for me, coming from a small congregation. It's frustrating to not have anybody to associate with. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy these a lot.
And we enjoy having you. Thank you. Rochelle. I wondered how long it would take to get to you. Sorry.
And he was making so much progress.
That was uncalled for. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say that I know in my congregation, well, most of us are family, all the other ones are too, in more ways than one. But when we do things all the time together. But we do make sure that we invite friends that are non-Christians so they can see how close that we are together. And they really admire that. And just by that, we've brought people to the Lord by showing them how close that Christians can get.
Excellent. Thank you. Who else over there? False signal. Are you
I'm
over
sorry,
24?
I forgot I was over 20.
Flashback.
I was thinking about the verse where it says they will know us by our love, yeah. And I think a lot of times we get that backwards. They'll know us by our book learning and then by our love, rather than by our love and then by our Bible knowledge.
That's the only barometer he gave the world. That's right. Amy.
I know in my congregation, I'm the only one that's my age. And sometimes it can get very discouraging. And I'm glad I have the support of the older members. And I'd like to see that support continue.
I feel sure it will, Amy. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Let's see. Okay. Check both clocks. Anybody else on this whole issue of sociality?
Sorry, Rick.
Who is it? Jared?
I know how Charity and all their family feels because I have myself and another family with two other teenagers. And we get together as much as possible, but with all of our schedules and us being three different ages, it's all really hard to get together. And I know just about every teenager here, but we don't get together a lot, mostly because I'm 45 minutes to an hour away from everybody. Mm-hmm. And these 2 weeks meetings mean a lot. I mean, this is the one time of the year that I know I'll see all my friends and meet new ones or just see people that I've never met and probably won't meet for a while. But it's so encouraging to see all these young people and then for us to get all involved in the services and not seeing just all the older members and mm-hmm. seeing all the same people you see all the time are involved. You see all these younger people with these devotionals and the song leadings, the half an hour songs, and the social activities are really good also. Along the lines of having the older people get involved with the younger ones, I know I was baptized in April, and as soon as I came out of the water, I had just about the whole congregation of men and even some of the women come up and ask me, you know, what do you want to do? Is there anything that you want to do? And if you need help on it, come to me and I'll help you. And that was really encouraging because some people, some of the older members, you know, some of the new ones, mm-hmm. you didn't know them. Or I've grown up in Gardner, the same church all my life, so I know some of them and they've gone and come back. And there's other members, and just to see everybody come and say that they could help you was just a wonderful feeling.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate your expression, and the fact that you young people appreciate this environment just makes us older ones all the more willing to spend and be spent so that you can be together, and we appreciate you making it into what you have, because we can provide an opportunity, but we can't make it happen, but you all have made it happen together for yourselves. Marvin.
I've heard a lot of people say I did get a thing out of the service today. I didn't get a thing out of going to that social. Mm-hmm. I agree with your point that we ought to be prepared to take something with us, and then we'll get something out of it. It's like a pitch-in dinner, as they call it in mm-hmm. Indiana.
Right.
We have wonderful meals because everybody brings their best dish, and I feel like that's what it ought to be when we come together as a church. I bring my best dish. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to share it whenever anybody wants to dip in, they can.
I agree. When I don't get anything out of it, I find that the problem is right between my ears. It's me. And I'm not a mixer by nature. I think some of us are. I just don't happen to be. There are many times when it's time to go to the assembly that I'd rather not. But usually after I do, and I do feel that it is our obligation to go, whether we feel like it or not. And after I do go, I'm usually glad I went. Something happens while I'm there to make me glad. So I have to keep reminding myself of that. Tom, Woody.
I
don't have a mic.
I think that it's good that we always appreciate the advantages we have when we practice mutual edification, and that our emphasis is upon involvement of members. We have to remember that there are a lot of religions or religious forms that are designed so that people aren't involved, because there are people who want a religion where they aren't involved. And we have to remember that sometimes when we have visitors, that we want to set a good example and want them to be involved, that we will have visitors sometime who aren't really expecting a church where they're to be involved. We must never become like a church where you can just come and go and you don't need to be involved.
Very good. Thank you very much. Lowell, go ahead.
I guess as I'm hearing some of these comments, I'm wondering, I don't suppose anybody's ever taken statistics on this, but I'm wondering when we hear some of these comments where they're the only teenager or they're one of very few, is that build strength in them, or is that really a hindrance? Is it something they overcome and they end up being stronger Christians? I just wonder if we were to take a poll today,